Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Thanks for checking in today. Football Friday live in Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino. Let's get right into it. Ryan Kramer joins the program now. Part of the Sports Gambling Podcast. You can go like it, subscribe, listen to it wherever you get your podcasts. Also, they're on VSiN every single Friday night at 10 o'clock Eastern, 7 p.m. out here on the West Coast. You're going to put out your first touchdown props like tonight / tomorrow on Twitter. Can you share right away, like the early game tomorrow?
Oh, yeah.
Give us some bombers here that you like.
Your audience can sneak a peek.
Okay.
I'll slide my V-neck down. All right. It's interesting. The Saturday games are way more fun in the first touchdown market to me because Buffalo, what's going on here? Sertan's going to take away the best option? Who's that? Is it Kincaid? He's hurt. So Dawson Knox doesn't make the card in the postseason. 25-1. They love him. But Curtis Samuel.
There we go.
Mark that frame at 8. How is he not going to get involved? Joe Brady's guy.
10-1 anytime.
I was a little concerned about him needing to be in the right mind space per Joe Brady, but they're going to bring him in. They love him as a gadget player. It just jumps off the page at 60-1. And yeah, the anytime is a ridiculous price. And remember last year in the playoff game against the Broncos, he scored a touchdown. Yeah. So
two, by the way, is 140-1.
Oh my goodness. Anytime you get north of 100-1, it's almost like, now you said it, I got to go sprinkle a little pizza money on it. Sure. And then for the Broncos, Bo Nix. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people like his rushing. I certainly think he could get loose. And as much as I love R.J. Harvey, the price is cooked. So we're going Troy Franklin. Okay. I think there's some intrigue there. He's a longer price than Sutton. I like the matchup especially. So we're going a little shorter with the 16-1 for Bo Nix and 16-1 for Troy Franklin. And then for the nightcap, I have to take a bad price with my guy Kyle Juszczyk. It's sentimental ever since I hit the first reception in the Super Bowl a couple years back.
Yeah.
And with Kittle out, we know how you can attack this Seattle defense. What if Tonjes is on my card too at 18-1, but what if all the Tonjes stuff people are talking about actually goes to Kyle Juszczyk? So he's very interesting to me. 33-1 only, Tonjes 18-1. And then for the Seahawks, I love the matchup for the tight end here. The San Francisco has been sneaky bad against the tight end. AJ Barner becoming a huge part of that red zone offense, dominating after JSN in opportunities. He's 10-1. And then Eric Saubert, however you want to pronounce it, if you're French or not, 40-1. He's an interesting spot. Again, like playing the extra tight end here because I like the matchup for the tight ends. Love the price of 40-1.
Don't they go tush-push with Barner too?
He is the tush-push.
There you go. Could be another angle.
Well, although I could see them leaving Darnold with the little oblique situation. Yeah. Who knows with that one?
Yeah. No Farrell first time or first, but anytime?
I looked at it. You have to play him, I think, because I don't really... Like, they're going to have situations where we're going to get unique looks. And I think extra tight ends being out there. Luke Farrell, he's been involved. Now, they prefer Tonjes. He's been the guy that stepped up every time Kittle's been out. But, you know, you slot, the guy bumps up the depth chart. All of a sudden, we have a backup tight end at 100-1.
Okay. Stick in that game. You brought him up already. Juszczyk. But you want to ladder him. This is great. Tell us how.
What if, like I said, that stuff goes Instead of Tonjes, it goes to Kyle Juszczyk. It's a playoff game. They love getting him involved. He's one of their captains. And his reception ladder, you can take all the way up to 6.5. It starts at 1.5. That's the standard price. I love this. I'm ignoring the AI projections here. I guess they're barely over. I love the 1.5, but 2.5 is plus 234. 3.5 plus 625. 4.5 is 1380. 5.5 is 27-1, and over 6.5, which he has done once in his career, he's had a 7-catch game, is 44-1. I think there's going to be a lot of check down opportunities in this game.
All right.
We also talk about McCaffrey, right? We love his receptions generally. What if those catches, a couple go to Juszczyk? So we're riding Juszczyk all the way to top here.
When the hell did he have 7 catches?
I was going to say, you spent a lot of time looking at his game logs.
I looked at the whole game log. He's had 2 6-catch games, 1 7-catch game,
right.
And they were all long enough ago to not need to talk about it. Also dug up a 2-touchdown game he had in 2020. Ooh, so for those wondering.
All right, let's find some plantains here. What do we got? What do you want to do with Harvey?
All right, so I brought the standard issue RJ Harvey prop, which is let's fade this Bills rushing defense again. The Jags made a mess of it last week, and ETN still got over this number. I think if Sean Payton comes in with his A game plan, he's going to understand run the rock here. RJ Harvey is a sneaky bell cow, not really being lined like a bell cow, but if he ends up with 18, 19 carries in this game, he's going to fly over this number. The fun bet I like is for him to have 10 plus rushing yards in the first drive. I think they're going to come out and intentfully run the ball over 9.5 or 10 plus yards.
Where is that?
Over at the Blue Book, FanDuel. 2 to 1 for 10 plus yards, plus 330. He gets 15 rushing yards on that first drive.
Rushing yards on the first drive.
I like them coming out with, I mean, again, if you watch the game against Jacksonville and you're an intelligent head coach, I'm running the ball that whole first drive. Okay. Make them stop that first.
So you're somebody that was tied up into like massive futures on Jacksonville.
Yeah.
What were you like watching the game last week?
I was mad at Liam Cohen. I have not only them to do well, but the coach of the year stuff, which effectively was fried for me in that game because he blew it. He even during the halftime interview, if you remember, he's like, we got to get back into our rhythm and run the ball more. And he abandoned it multiple times in the game. And so I was frustrated. It was the one game where Aaron Schatz post-game win expectancy was in favor of the Jags. They lost the game, of course. It was a tough one for my adopted Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah, that was frustrating to watch, no doubt about it. Okay, so then game on Sunday as well. Texans taking on the Patriots. Patriots, for the most part this year, first half really good against the run, had some injuries, and then it didn't go so well down the stretch, but it's back now. And Marks was awesome against Pittsburgh. Do you see that happening again here?
No, that's why he's been awesome in general. He's been their bell cow. Mm-hmm. But when you really dive into this Patriots defense, what you'll find is, like you said, they started off, they were impossible to run again. We were smashing the under prop every week. And then something happened. And then Breece Hall, Chase Brown, Devin Singletary, James Cook, Derrick Henry, Breece Hall all went over this number 55.5, which is what Woody Marks' number is this week in consecutive weeks. Why? Because Milton Williams was out. He came back, and immediately we get back to the same run defense we had seen in the beginning of the year. And I love the fact that, I mean, it's baked into the number, obviously, but I love the fact that we're fading a guy who ultra popular, one of the popular picks for the Texans and all the postseason fantasy stuff. And so we're taking the under on Woody Marks, 55.5 rushing yards.
You're killing me.
Okay. Uh-oh. We going head-to-head?
Tough one, yeah. I think, okay. Well, they got good.
Someone's got to win.
Yes, about time they put Robinson props up. That's great for the Niners.
Oh, all right. What are we looking at? Rush yards?
I think you have 25 yards receiving.
Oh, interesting.
That's a low price after he was so good last week. Only 25 yards? How about that? How about the late game where there could be fireworks? I know it's going to be cold, that the wind isn't going to be as bad as what we thought. What do you think of the Bears and Rams?
The weather's been letting us down. We keep expecting these horrible games. We saw the video, the snow going horizontal.
Right.
I'll tell you an angle I like in this game in general. I like kind of like Roma Dunze. You look at some of the numbers. He hasn't been getting a ton of volume, but he's been getting a ton of volume around the red zone. His anytime touchdown is 3-1, and his yards are totaled around 35.5. To me, he's a guy that Caleb has talked about trusting. The coaching staff has talked about trusting. He seemed frustrated coming off that injury. And so now two games removed from coming off of it, I like him to show up a little bit in this game. And big physical receivers have dominated the Rams recently. Think of Coker and Tet last week. So, certainly like, and the Bears are a great team to figure it out because they have a real distribution of targets. So, I like kind of taking a stab at one of the lower ones in Roma Dunze.
Okay, so your favorite side or total of the week would be what? And knowing you, that means you're going to also be involved like in alt numbers.
This is an interesting week because I felt like it was a harder than normal playoff week to kind of unpack. But as someone who has been a Patriots hater all season, it's the Pats laying the 3. I think you want to talk about a game that we could see an alt number. You know, we saw it last week, 16-3. How the game could be very similar, and if anything, I would have given more credit to the Chargers offense than the Texans offense without Nico Collins.
Yeah. Yes,
so
true.
That would be the game. I love laying the 3, but certainly that's going to be one when I make my and it's moving to 3.5 some places. Yep. That's going to be one that if I'm looking to build a little pleaser, a little alt line this week, Nothing like a pleaser in the playoff season when there's only four games.
Yes.
What do you think happens Monday night?
National Championship. Yeah, Indiana by a million.
Really?
I think so. It's Cignetti versus Cristobal is hard to overlook.
Okay.
It's hard to overlook. And I do have some first touchdowns in that if you want to hear them.
Wow, yeah. Appreciate it.
The quarterbacks, Carson Beck, 45-1. I'm going to keep playing him. His anytime is 8-1. I
couldn't believe the price last game. He hadn't scored since South Florida. He was only 5-1 anytime.
And now it goes up. Who knows? Going to obviously take Mendoza on the other side. So both quarterbacks, Mendoza's 12-1, Beck's 45-1. And then we're going two tight ends. We're going Alex Bauman for the Miami Hurricanes. He's a Jersey kid. Shout out Red Bank, 45-1. And then Riley Noah Kowalski, starting tight end for the for Indiana. So they're both 45-1 for my for Alex Bauman and Noah Kowalski is 25-1.
Very good.
You're good. Have you been to Satin Dolls?
No.
Okay, that's what Bada Bing was, right?
Oh, okay.
Is it? I thought Jersey guy.
No, you're probably right. Yeah, I don't know the great Sopranos lore. I should. Now someone's going to give me crap for it.
Cetriolis?
Cetriolis?
Yeah. You're a big Giants fan.
Yes.
Super happy with the Harbaugh move? Or
how can you not be?
Got to be.
How can you not be? And the win total is 8.5. Feels aggressive, but, you know, Jackson Dart, rookie. You know what? That's a case for rookie of the year. How many other rookies are sitting in recruiting the next head coach, and he's the reason?
True.
There you go.
But he said yes.
Ryan Kramer along with Sean Green tonight, Friday night, Sports Gambling Podcast Show, 10 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Pacific. Thanks, Ryan.
Yeah, let it ride, guys.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
This is Follow the Money on
VSiN. All right, thanks to all of our guests today. They were awesome as always. Great job by Luke and the entire staff behind the scenes as well. Adam Chernoff was great. Benjamin Albright, super hot. Info and narratives there on the Broncos and the Bills. Ryan Kramer just now, if you missed any of the show, you can always go back and listen to the Follow the Money podcast. Wherever you get it, the Dodgers last night. What's going on in Major League Baseball? They don't even need the guy. And yet here's 4 years, $240 million. They give him $60 million a year?
Yeah.
No wonder why we're going to have a strike or a lockout very soon. This is it's absolutely absurd, Paulie.
Got him and Diaz already, and they're not done. I thought Jensen Lewis did a good job. I retweeted him about payrolls are a hot topic today. And he compiled a list since 2012 of the winner and the runner-up with payroll.
Uh-huh.
Dodgers were first, Jays were fifth. Dodgers were first, Yankees were third. Rangers were eighth, Diamondbacks were 19th. Astros were ninth. 2021, Braves were 13th. 2019, Nats were sixth. 2018, not good. Red Sox won, Dodgers four. 2017, Astros 19. 2016, Cubs four, Indians 21st. And then there's an 11-21 in there with the Royals and Mets. I mean, it's not that bad. The problem is the Dodgers know what they're doing, and they know how to spend it, and they spend it well, and they just don't throw money at the guys, and also based on fit, too. So it is disappointing that they're going for a three-peat, and they keep making great additions, and now you're going to look at what the possible lineups are going to be, and it's just absurd.
Well, okay, I would also come back at you and say this. Has a team ever done in the last 12, 13 years, what the Dodgers have done with their payroll?
That's true, right. You get the Ohtani deferring the money.
How
they structured Ohtani's contract, yeah.
Yeah, you can't even compare like previous Yankees teams. Philadelphia teams, nothing. I mean, this is absolutely bonkers what's going on.
Back that up, guys. Go back. Contracts worth more than how much?
$100
million.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Ohtani, $700. Betts, $360. Yamamoto, $325. Tucker, $240. Snell, 182. Freeman 162, Smith 140, Glasnow 136, and a lot of them 5-6 year deals. Oh boy,
is it even fun? Like, again, it's not. They're not a lock to win the World Series. Nothing's ever a lock, but this is beyond the point of outrageous. And by the way, here's another thing too. I actually credit the Dodgers for doing this because they can, and there's no salary cap. Blame all the other teams. They all have countless funds, man. And if you miss out on any of these superstars, look in the mirror. If you're a fan of the Yankees or someone in that organization,
yeah,
you've had more money than God since I've been alive. And you can say that about every other team as well. Spend it. Make it happen.
Cohen went nuts that one year. It didn't work out, and then he scaled it back.
Yeah, that's right.
And he didn't do it anymore. But they got Bichette today.
Yeah, that's good.
So that was one move that they made that people like. We'll see. But it's just, they're not done, and the rich get richer. I think he was asking, wasn't he asking for 10 for 450 or something in that range? I thought I saw. Or 11 for something? This is what he gets? He wanted an 11-year deal, and this is what he got? Okay, in any event. What did you come up with, Luke? Did the viewer send something in? Mitch stumbled into something here, which I never thought of with Puka. Okay.
Well, again, I never thought of how they looked side by side, but
there it is. Puka and Jimmy Superfly Snuka. Yeah?
Yeah, the only reason why I thought of it is because it's like Puka Snuka. You can make it rhyme. So I wanted to call him Jimmy, not Jimmy, but just Superfly Puka. there he is off the top rope with the football.
Oh, that's good.
The mahalo.
Oh, that's great.
Donnie's
right, too, though, about Billy from Predator. And an older Billy, a younger Puka, looking like an older Billy from Predator.
Yeah.
Which was a good one.
The resemblance there is uncanny.
Yeah. That's excellent.
All right, great job. Let me give you some college basketball stuff for tomorrow. We'll give you some projections and where the numbers are at with these games. Tomorrow's card is phenomenal. Arkansas plays at Georgia. Great matchup in the SEC. We're expecting a ton of points here. Bart Torvik, in fact, has it at 189 points. I think the total is 182.5 at DraftKings. But Eric Haslam makes Arkansas -1. Greg Peterson here at the website makes him 4.5. Georgia's 2.5. Florida plays at Vandy tomorrow. That's at 2 o'clock Eastern time. Vandy off their first loss of the season. Florida playing really good basketball at the moment. Some very impressive wins here as of late. Bart Torvik has Vandy -6. Greg Hoops Peterson makes him the same number. At DK, they're -2.5. Opening number here. I wanted to take Florida at a higher number, but 2.5 is not that big of a number. BYU at Texas Tech. Peterson makes BYU 2.5. Torvik makes Texas Tech 3.5.
Wow.
Tech's -2.5 in the game.
Yeah.
Give you Iowa at Indiana. Torvik makes Indiana 3. Greg Peterson 4.5. DK has him 1.5. And Virginia scoring a ton of points this year. Playing at SMU. Haslam makes him 6. Peterson makes SMU 1. Virginia's 1.5 right now at DK. Great games on the docket tomorrow in college basketball. One of those days where you sit back on the couch, kick back, and just enjoy and get ready for, the games coming up a little bit later on in the day in the National Football League.
Michigan laying a huge number again.
Yep.
They were laying 24, won by 2. They were laying 18 and lost. Now they're laying 18.5 at Oregon. Know about that.
Oregon's one game over 500 on the year.
It's the same price on the money line, too, as when Wisconsin beat them. It's 18-1. Oh.
I was on with Will Hill on his podcast earlier this week called Should Have Bet More.
Yeah.
He asked me, go to game day snacks on a day like tomorrow or Sunday.
Right, or championship Sunday coming up.
And we kicked around. I brought up the idea of I'm a big chicken wings guy when they're done right.
You need wings. I think you need a meat and cheese platter. Chips,
salsa, guacamole,
hot dogs.
Good hot dog slash brat. I'm in for. You're gonna get me every single time.
Yeah.
I also cannot turn down nachos.
Got to have nachos.
Yeah. Although nachos can be bad.
Messy
with the wrong cheese. It's not great. But
yeah, then you get a Costanza thing going on too. Maybe.
Well, yeah.
People are.
That if you have a party over.
Yeah.
I also can, like, pizza. Are you going to turn down pizza?
We missing anything?
No, I think that's a pretty good go-to right there, unless you want to do, like, barbecue. If you wanted to have, like, barbecue catered for a day like tomorrow or Sunday or even next week, I can't disagree with that because you're the biggest fan of mac and cheese out of anybody I've ever known in my entire life.
Yeah.
And when you have the mac and cheese done right, come on, I want that all day. Mm. That, the beans, throw a little brisket in there, some pickled vegetables. Oh, we're absolutely talking. But the chicken wings, Lorraine's been making chicken wings lately at the house. And she's getting them perfectly crispy on the outside. It's like they're double baked almost. But her sauce is like, if you have the right sauces with the chicken wings, oh man, I could have, you give me, I don't know, 3-4 beers. I bet you I could whack down 40 chicken wings. Like at one setting. I'm also a super fast eater, so I'll be regretting that after like a half an hour, but that's the way it works.
Yeah, that's pretty good. You want to be snacking all day, and especially if you're over there for a while and back-to-back games. Pizza's easy, but I would think meat and cheese platter, nachos, all that stuff. Beers, soda.
I noticed you didn't mention anything about the vegetables on that platter either.
No, get that out of here. That's a good discussion. FTM@vsim.com. Tweet at us as well.
Yeah, you don't have to get too extravagant. This is a pretty easy day. Simple guys here trying to make us happy. Right? I think it's pretty relatable for most people in the audience as well. Like, that sounds about right to me. Like, if, again, like some brats, like cooked in beer, you get the right buns again. You throw a couple of peppers on that bad boy. I like ketchup. I don't care. I'm not afraid to admit it, but I need more mustard. You want to throw a little relish on top of that? I'm in. I'm in all day for that. Do a little grilling tomorrow before the game
starts.
What's
your favorite chip? Like, if you can only have, is it the Ruffles? Is it Doritos? Well, is it the sour cream? What are you going with?
Oh, man, sour cream is very, very good. There are some sour cream chips that I like a lot.
The selection of chips is awesome.
Nowadays, yeah.
Sun chips. I like Sun chips.
Yep.
Ruffles, regular sour cream, baked Lay's. Oh, phenomenal.
I will say.
Doritos, any kind of Doritos.
Olivia Wilde.
Cheetos. What about her?
She has her own brand of chips. They're over here at Fuel.
Oh.
I've had them a couple of times. I brought them in. I think, did you try? They have, they're called Wild chips. They're made out of chicken breasts.
Okay.
Which is crazy, but they're not unhealthy at all. And they are absolutely delicious. They're super expensive, but they're like some of the best chips I've ever had.
Pringles, another one.
If you're talking, if I get to dip them, I just want like plain chips,
okay,
though.
Okay, yeah.
You know? All right, we're going to get into the games coming up this weekend. More bets that we like for the divisional round of the NFL playoffs. This is Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
You can always get in touch with the show on X at VSiN Live and Mitch Moss Radio at Paulie Howard. We're talking about necessary game day snacks for this weekend and the only three remaining football weekends that we have coming up. Ivan says on X, barbecue chips dipped in sour cream is awesome. I don't recall ever trying that before.
Okay.
And Extraordinary Opinion says the only chips you're ever going to need, Cape Cod kettle cooked potato chips.
Yes, good call.
Those are very good.
Damn right. Good call. Let's get nuts and finish off everything. We try to attack every angle and creativity with the books and the props. Non-quarterback to throw a touchdown, 10-1.
Okay.
Jennings did it last week.
So earlier today, Benjamin Albright made a comment on the air about how creative Sean Payton might be in this game. I think he was talking
about
that. There was also a story written about the Broncos and how Payton could have some trickery up his sleeve here.
Okay.
That could be the team where it comes from.
All right. Batman touchdown, 20-1. Shutout, 10-1. Someone scores 50 points, 20-1. Quarterback, 5 touchdowns, 10-1. First play of the game, turnover, 16-1.
Well, Brock Purdy's always playing, so.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
All right, this is great, because we disagree right off the bat on the first game. And I like Denver, you like the Bills, but the concerns of Knicks. I'm okay, because Denver had some awful performances, but they were against bad teams. They played down to their level and up to their level. So they've won 13-14 at home. The time off. a battered and bruised Buffalo team and the disrespect card, even though they were sent out the underdogs, as the underdogs now the favorite, but Peyton 4-0 off the bye, average margin 31-17. I think he sticks with the run. I think they get enough done on the run, maybe force an Allen turnover, and Knicks plays well, and they get the win. And what many people, you know, they have many people have said this. Is this the worst one seed we've ever seen? But
we've had some bad ones before.
Yeah, I'd have to rack my brain for that. And at FanDuel, both one seeds to meet in the Super Bowl is plus 650. But I like Denver, and I also like what our guest said, Albright, about no, this is a McLaughlin, not so much a Harvey game. But Ozzie, I know our friend Ozzie and Albright both were big on Harvey over receiving, which is a low number at 19.5. And I do think the targets will be there for Harvey in any event, how you want to play it with the rushing yards.
Well, okay, so did it take you off maybe the combo prop of R.J. Harvey rushing and receiving yards?
No.
Yeah.
I still think he'll do damage on the ground.
So
how much, I don't know.
Yeah, in my brain, and I said this last week, I love Jacksonville so much that it scared me. I didn't even bet him because I was so scared of it. And nobody liked Buffalo for the most part, and they were driven up to a 2.5-point favorite. The Jags were, right?
All four moves lost last week, too.
And to me, the matchup was even more so in favor of Jacksonville last week against Buffalo than it is for Denver at home against this team. And yet, what happened? Liam Cohen lost his mind.
Yep.
Great stat by Ben Albright. I never realized that this year. Bo Nix led the league in passing attempts. Are you serious? Gets away from the run way too much. Now, it should be where you looked at that game and realized that Tootin and Etienne were in store for a huge day on the ground. They got away from it. I've said all week that this is the game where they're going to miss J.K. Dobbins. I think that could be a factor again. But it's still Bo Nix that's going to have to eventually outplay and outscore Josh Allen, because I don't think Josh Allen's going to be limited here to below 20 points in the game, despite the Broncos having a really good defense. And oh, there is this, by the way. The Broncos playing to their level of competition, yeah, for the most part, scared the daylights out of me. So we've said this for a long time about New England. Are they good? We can say the same thing about most teams remaining in the playoffs. You can certainly say that to Denver. You can say that about Chicago playing. Like, I think that there's no great team this year in the NFL.
Yeah, I could see a little celebration lap and taking shots at people after the win Saturday, too, out of Peyton. They've been writing all year, this isn't sustainable, this isn't a Super Bowl team, it's smoke and mirrors, all that, getting into it with reporters. So maybe 27-17, and then Peyton says, I told you so, at least for 1 week, and then they get ready for the AFC title game. First home playoff game since 2016. Also interesting that Albright brought up what happened last year, which Denver number two against the run, and Buffalo ran all over them in that 31-7 playoff win.
I need to point out, too, let's not forget what Jacksonville did to Denver not that long ago. They went there, and that was a complete mismatch. And Jacksonville did whatever they wanted to on offense. And the same thing was happening in the Green Bay game as well. So we're talking about Trevor Lawrence there and Jordan Love. I get it with the wide receivers here with Buffalo. Josh Allen's better than both those quarterbacks. And they had the league's leading rusher in James Cook this year.
They contain him. How many times do they sack Allen? Most sacks in the league. Number one in sack differential. 68 sacks.
Oh, they'll get to him for sure. I mean,
four? Is that, I don't.
I can't go that high. If I would go that high, bet him to have
something Houston would do, but I don't know if Denver does it.
Yeah, Houston sacked him 8 times when they played this year.
This is the great thing also coming out with these teams playing this weekend. Again, you got one seeds that have a lot of issues. You know, Denver was -3 in the turnover battle. Seattle was -3 in the turnover battle. Seattle, second most turnovers. Darnold led the league in turnovers. I mean, there's a lot going on here about look at these records, but also look at the mistakes you made and how lucky and fortunate you were in some of these games.
Mm-hmm. So you're pretty confident the Seahawks just simply win the game tomorrow night against the 49ers?
I'll say 10-point win. 10-13, yeah. What's going to change? To just play a couple weeks ago and go up there and dominate, and how you ran all over them and they couldn't move the ball. What's going to change? And now they're not down with another key guy, and it's a short week with travel, and they've been sitting there for 14 days.
Oh, it's an absolutely horrific spot here for San Francisco.
Yeah. It's just got to be Darnold, don't implode.
Yep.
Right. 20 turnovers. First time it's happened since 78. One seed to lead the league in turnovers, the oblique. McDonald did say Locke is ready to go. Could we get a package for Milroe then? Would they do something with that? Get creative? Probably not, but just throwing it out there because he's hurt. At least playing with an injury.
Nothing but, really should change from a couple of weeks back.
180 on the ground.
But that also scares me because then it feels like it's too easy.
Yeah. Purdy is 4-0 in Seattle, but they've won 10 in a row at home in the playoffs with fans, and Darnold is 13-0 straight up when laying 6 points or more. And the 3-22 angle. When you are a dog in the wild card round and you're a dog after winning the next round, you're 3-22 straight up.
How do we look at it from a coaching standpoint here? Because the job Shanahan has done full season to right now has been extraordinary. With all these guys down, all that manpower down, especially to their star guys, right? Do we just automatically assume that he's going to have the coaching edge here and he'll somehow find a way to patch it together again? Or does that run out?
No, McDonald's great. McDonald's is conservative, though.
I would say he's good. He doesn't we don't know if he's great yet.
Yeah, 4th-and-1, they like to kick a lot of field goals, too. And he might punt 4th-and-1. But Shanahan's also had some bad moments
and
blowing leads and also going very conservative as well, which he has done when he's the favorite, usually.
What if I tell you...
What happens here, if he's the underdog, does he go with reckless abandon and say, the hell for it, I'm going for it, 4th down, and let's chuck it all over the yard?
Who wins the game if Purdy does not turn the ball over and Darnold has 2 INTs?
It depends on where they are in the field. I got where the interceptions occur. Are they driving? Are they deep in their own territory? Do you help the defense out?
I'll say the Niners.
We just saw it, right? Crazy.
We saw it with the Bears game.
We saw it in the Niner game. Mm-hmm. Purdy had 2 picks and they still won the game.
Yep.
And Hurts was clean.
And I think there is a chance here where I just, the Darnold thing scares me. I'm sorry. I'm one of those guys.
Yep.
It just, he doesn't have a good history here.
All right. I can't kill you for that.
All right.
Do you agree with Kramer with the alts on the Patriots? Could it be a repeat of Sunday night? Could it be 20-6 New England?
I don't want to overreact to what we watch with CJ Stroud on Monday night. But again, I cannot disagree with the people who have said the more we watch the guy, the more warts there are and the less that we like him. And so it's like he's going just downhill now. It's not getting any better. It's getting worse on a daily or a weekly basis. So I can't imagine he's going to have... And by the way, if this is a thing again where he's like super turnover prone, but it's a close game in the first half, they have to absolutely have a conversation about going to Davis Mills.
I thought they were going to go to him last week, but then his wife just had a kid, so he wasn't with the team, and they didn't know if he was going to be there. So that not going to happen. But that if he stinks it up at the joint again, I think you'd have to look at Mills in relief. Here's what concerns me. Two things. Number one, you would never want a playoff road game. Exercise the demons. But it was on a Monday night. Now you have the short week. Patriots at home and your star players out. And the Kirk game was a fluke. Also, what concerns me is the Bears had the no business winning the game, miracle win, beat your rivals, everyone going crazy.
Sure.
Now you got another game and it's the Rams. And the Rams are the better team. And maybe the weather is a big deal, but it's the number one offense against the 29th ranked defense.
Yeah. I don't think Houston's going to be able to run the ball.
I think they can.
Then it's going to come down to, if I'm right on that, it's going to come down to Stroud making plays, which I don't like that scenario at all for them with no Nico Collins against a quarterback who I can absolutely trust. I know the Texans defense, I'm in love with them as much as anybody, but I think the edge there, sir, a quarterback, massive edge in this game for Drake May. Huge.
Yep. 49ers, 2 takeaways last 5 games. Not many on the season either.
Up next, we'll get to our best bets for the weekend. In Pocket Plays coming up on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Dance. Thanks to Jonathan Davis, Mikhail Sergachev prop, over 1.5 shots on goal winner, Utah defenseman, 19-1 overrun at home. 1.5 shots on goal. Read his write-ups every day. Read him tonight. He loves Colorado, and I'm sure it's goals aplenty as they take on Nashville. And as Ian Duncan has pointed out, at Ian Dunks on X, 10 in a row on the road, going the first 10 in Nashville. What could go wrong? What was that game, Colorado? Didn't they score 4 goals in the first 4 minutes?
Yeah.
Against St. Louis, I think it was. Patriots around the world. First half, game, first half money line. 15-3 ATS first half on the season. 16-1-1 on the money line. 13-0-1 run. Pats mean business, trying to go back to the AFC title game for the first time since 2018. McCaffrey over receiving yards. Cooks over 29.5. This is sneaky. This surprised me. Last week against Jacksonville, 58 yards and 5 targets. In the game against the Eagles, he sat against the Jets. In that game at home against Philly, he had 100 yards and 6 targets. Who are you throwing to? After, you know, Shakir had 12 targets and 12 catches, which I like him as well, but I think Cooks can go over that. He might get it on one catch. Broncos pick him. Monday night, Mark Fletcher over 68.5 rushing yards. Swift over 56.5. Ben Johnson with the comments, have to do a better job in the run game. Odunze over 34.5 receiving. All teams to have a rushing touchdown, 45-1. We will not have a scoreless quarter, plus 130. McCaffrey, 5 yards rushing each quarter, plus 125 at Will Hill Caesars. And I think a big part of the game early on will be Rush running the ball with Swift and also Williams. Swift, 5 yards rushing each quarter, plus 160. Williams, 5 yards rushing each quarter, 115. Marks, 5 yards rushing each quarter, plus 125. Puka, Superfly, 25 yards receiving each half, $1.40. In a game that could be nuts and crazy back and forth if the weather cooperates. The Rams' defense has been terrible, and Williams has been cooking. And you know how dangerous this Rams offense is. But one more time, Rams going back, 34 against Detroit, 38 against Seattle, 37 against Atlanta, 31 against Carolina, who was 4-for-4 touchdowns in the red zone. Could be fireworks with all those props and stuff that you don't think is that problematic and should be easy or doable for these star players, skill position players. Good luck.
All right, the bets from last night. The Bucks first quarter +2.5. Did you see how that one lost?
I did not.
Giannis had 14 before he could blink in the first quarter. Oh. Meanwhile, his teammates started 1 of 11 from the floor.
Are you kidding?
And De'Aaron Fox hit a 3 at the buzzer to win the quarter by 4.
Is that right?
Yeah, that was a fun one.
And then they got run out.
No, they got killed after that.
They were down 30.
Yeah.
Keep an eye on that. Not going well.
I don't want to because it's so ugly.
The bad roster.
Grayson Allen, over 3.5 made threes, +165.
How many?
5 at halftime.
Didn't he have 7 or something for the game?
Yeah, the laddering him was... So this is going to go from... This is going to go 3.5 minus money now very soon because he takes so many.
Yeah, he took 17 or something, or 8-19. Yeah, crazy.
Especially when... But you know what? We missed a couple yesterday. We talked about it off the air. We were not strong enough on it.
Yeah.
That Hornets-Lakers game had a ton of points written all over it. First half was 113.5. He took money before the game.
Yeah.
Missed that one.
It was way too low. 80 points combined in the third quarter. Lakers lose again. Shout out to Stormy. Every Laker loss has been by double digits but one.
Yeah.
Not defending at all.
Depending, the Bears, biggest bet of the weekend for me, +4.5 against the Rams. Rams now starting to take a little bit of money. This went down to 3.5. Now back to 4. DK had 4.5 earlier today. Wrong side of this one. Bills pick against the Broncos. Now catching 1.5. Top 10. Harry Hall, he finished, he was 8th yesterday to begin. +325. We haven't checked the standings today. By the way, Indy Jeff, what a way to begin the year. Nick Taylor, first round leader, split it. I know we mentioned that yesterday, but worth bringing up one more time. Walker, Charbonnet to combine for 125 plus yards on the ground. That's the recipe here in this game. Keys to victory, +151 on that one. Jake Tongas over 34.5 receiving yards, -140. On that bet, some of the new bets that we have moving forward here. I got to do it. Troy Franklin on the year again, 14-3 over. 2.5 catches. It's plus 144 is where I got it at today.
Yeah, you need to bet this also. Franklin, 25 yards each half, 16-1.
Don't hate
it. That's right up your alley.
That's right. That's right. And I heard Chad Andrus on with the fellas on primetime last night. He made a great point. Like, a lot of these injuries to the Bills secondary. And he said the Bills are just a slow defensive team. And the Broncos have burners. He thinks it could be, like, Harvey, McLaughlin, Mims, and Franklin could be all in for a day here.
Okay.
For the Broncos. And so I had to take that one. In the same game, McLaughlin anytime touchdown, pizza money at plus 550, double pizza money on 70-1 if you want to get nuts here with two of those. Patriots minus 3, minus 118 is available. I've come around to that side in the game. Been there for a couple of days. Got to bet it before it moves to 2.5 everywhere. 3.5, that is. And a couple of props for tonight. Murphy, by the way, Luke is another one. But I'll begin with this. So the Sixers got absolutely stomped in their last game against Cleveland 2 nights ago. They're playing each other again tonight, right? Well, Tyrese Maxey did not have a game. He only had 14 points. But if you go back and look, his last 10 games, he has averaged 7 attempts and 9.7 points in the first quarter. Last 5 games, he's averaged 7.2 attempts and 9.8 points on average. After that stink bomb they laid, he's like Luka. Luka will have 19 in the first quarter.
Yeah.
So after that really bad game tonight, over 8.5 points is plus 110. That's worth a play to me. And the other one is Trey Murphy for New Orleans. How about this? In his last 9 games, he has averaged 12.5 three-point attempts and 5 made threes. The makes by game, 5, 4, 3, 7, 6, 7, 3, 5, 6. I'm on Murphy over 2.5 made threes tonight, minus 125 for the Pelicans. Got to keep riding this hot. The number seems like a good one to bet.
Football meets flavor with VSiN and Omaha Steaks. They're bringing the food in right now. Get ready. It's an awesome presentation.
And look at those wings like we were talking about earlier.
Oh, yeah. Great menu. Selection's phenomenal. The official sponsor of tailgating. Spend $129. You get 2 pounds of fully cooked chicken wings. 50% off site-wide. OmahaSteaks.com/VSiN. Spend $129 and get 2 pounds of wings. And save 50% site-wide on steaks and more. OmahaSteaks.com/VSiN. Shrimp cocktail, too?
Yeah, okay.
Have that at your party?
Yeah.
Okay. Some other ones I wanted to mention as well. Shakir, 12 catches last week. To have a catch each quarter is 2-1. 2 is 22-1. 5 yards each quarter plus 425. And if Josh Allen is Superman, 25 yards rushing each half plus 550. And offshore, you can bet, will there be one tush push? Which I can't. It's kind of, they ran it so many times last week.
I'll say we get Bills at Patriots for the AFC title game.
Oh, that'd be something, round 3.
Yeah, and I have to go with my wallet on this one. The Rams win a very close game on Sunday. Rams, I really want to say hosting the Niners, but I can't get there. Rams at Seattle to go out of the NFC.
How about Denver and Houston and Seattle and Chicago? How about those remaining quarterbacks and one of them's going to win a Super Bowl?
Right.
How about that story? How bad Stroud has played, up and down year for Knicks. Darnold's career, and Caleb Williams, everyone took shots at him last year. That would be a hell of a Final Four, a unique Final Four.
Houston-Seattle, rematch from the regular season with those two defenses?
Not bad.
Mm. FTM@VSiN.com is the email. Randall is watching either on YouTube TV or on the VSiN Watch app. He's chiming in and says, my wife says Mitch needs to cut his hair. I disagree.
Grow it out.
I've had a couple of really good hair days the last couple of days, feeling good about it. Ask anybody, they'll tell you the same thing. The locks that I have flowing right now. And I'm in the middle stages, by the way. Like, this is typically the stage where, because I'm like a 2-guard on the sides, you know, I get it close, whatever. When I grow it out, it takes me a good couple of months. So the in-between stages, I typically don't, I'm not a big fan of it, but I like where I'm at right now. But the payoff in like another 2 months, oh, it's absolutely worth it. I got curls on top of curls, man.
Love women. They're hilarious. But Charlie M. reached out a while back. He was watching with his wife. He goes, Paulie, your shirt's too big. It's like you're watching the show, and that's their takeaway, how they find stuff. It's good.
All right. Stay tuned. Humans next. Friday Football Invitational into the Sports Gambling Podcast program as well. Good luck with the bets this weekend. Hope you crush it. Talk to you Sunday.